All right, go with me back to John 17. John 17, let's read verse 12 again. That's our text. Our Lord said, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." None of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. He's talking about Judas. He's talking about Judas. Judas ought to be our proof that we cannot put any stock in anything. I mean anything but the saving work of Christ alone. We can't put any stock in anything. Only the saving work of Christ alone. The only thing that we can put stock in is His choice. That's all we can put stock in. His hand, His blood, the work of Christ alone. Jesus, He ought to be our proof of that. No matter what we attain in this life, no matter what we become in this life, if we don't have God's mercy in God's Son, it amounts to nothing. It amounts to nothing. Whatever we attain physically, whatever we attain personally, it amounts to nothing. Judas was an apostle. He was an apostle. I'm a preacher. Well, Judas was an apostle. One of God's apostles. Nowhere does it say that anyone was saved under his preaching. Nowhere. God didn't use him to pen one word of the scripture. Not one word. But he was an apostle. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew," that's Nathanael, "Thomas, and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus," who is supposedly the Lord's brother, "and Lebbaeus," whose last name or surname was Thaddeus. Lebbaeus Thaddeus is Jude. "Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him." God Almighty numbered him with the apostles. He numbered him with the apostles. There was no reason for the other 11 to suspect anything of Judas. Nothing different. He gave them no reason. He didn't stand out for any strange reason. When our Lord said, "One of you is going to betray me. One of you is going to betray me." Every single one of them, it says, sorrow came over all of them. And every one of them said, "Is it I? Is it I? I read a sign coming over here tonight. There's a house of religion. And it had a sign talking about forbearing the weak, be patient with the weak. And as soon as I read that, I thought, the problem with that sign is, I am the weak. I don't need to do a good deed and be patient with another sinner. I am the sinner. And every single one of them said, Lord, is it I? It's got to be me. None of them said, Lord, is it Judas? None of them said that. Go with me over to John 12. John 12, verse 1 says, Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Judas was the only one of the 12 that had a title. He was the treasurer. He was the only one who had an appointed job, so to speak. He held the bag. And he wanted that bag to be full. That's all he wanted, was for the bag he held to be full. He didn't want any money going out of that bag. The other 11, though, they had no idea of this. Now, why am I telling you all this? The reason is to show you that the other 11 wanted Judas to be the treasurer. I don't want to be the treasurer. They trusted him to handle that job. They had no reason to suspect. This says he was a thief. You think they would have chosen him if they knew he was a thief? No reason to suspect that. By his outward conduct, they said he's the man for the job. You know, Peter, he's a little too hot-headed. I don't know Peter's the right man for the job. Thomas, he doesn't have enough faith. He's always doubting. It takes a lot of faith to write all the money out of the account. It really does. Oh, man, the money's going away. It's going. Well, the Lord will provide money. Judas, he's the man. He's the man for the job. Go with me over to Matthew 26. Now, this is the same account of this ointment. We read that in verse 9. It says, For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Verse 14, right after that, verse 14, Matthew 26, 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said unto them, What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. The chief priest did not come and entice Judas. Judas went and enticed them. Isn't that something? He didn't fall prey. He went and enticed them. He said, "What will you give me, and I'll deliver him to you?" And they said, "How about 30 pieces of silver?" And from that time, he sought opportunity. Everything that happened, he thought, "Now, can I betray him here?" He sought opportunity to betray him. Verse 17 says, "Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, 'Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?'" It's time to eat the Passover. Verse 21 says, "As they did eat, he said, 'Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me.'" Verse 25, "Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, 'Master, is it I?' He said unto him, 'Thou hast said.'" He'd already betrayed him. He had already betrayed him. He already went and said, "What will you give me, and I'll turn him over to you?" And now, as the hypocrite he was, he's sitting there listening to what everybody else is doing, and he says, "Master, is it I?" He knew it was him. After that, our Lord, he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prayed to his Father and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And then in verse 46, right here in Matthew 26, verse 46, it says, our Lord said, "Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, 'Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast.' And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, 'Hail, Master,' and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, 'Friend, wherefore art thou come?' Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him." Judas did exactly what he wanted to do. Exactly what he wanted to do. Just like every other enemy of God does. Every single one. 1 John 2 says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." Now let me ask us this question. I ask me this question and you, us. What's to keep us from doing the same thing? Really? What's to keep us from doing the exact same thing? Judas did nothing different than what every other person on this planet wanted to do. They all said, "Crucify him." All of them. Every single one of them. Every soul outside of Christ, that's what they said. Not just Judas. He did what every man by nature wants to do. Our Lord did not force him to do this. Well, he has laid captive on us and made us to sit in the heavens with him. And he made Judas do that. No, Judas did exactly what he wanted to do. Exactly what every man by nature wants to do. Men and women are denying God still to this day. Still to this day. They're rejecting God every day, preferring 30 pieces of silver over God Almighty every day. This flesh right here is prone to wander. It's prone to wander. Do you feel that? Do you ever feel that? Do you ever feel that proneness? I feel it. I feel it. I do feel it. This, I believe with all my heart, that this flesh, Gabe Stoniker's flesh, is prone to leave the God he loves. I believe it with all my heart. I am so ashamed to admit it. I hate to tell you, but it's the truth. Prone to leave the God I love. What's to keep me from doing it? Really? Am I going to be here in 40 years? Still preaching the true gospel of God? What's to keep me and stop me from rejecting God and selling out, choosing the world over Jesus Christ my Lord? The answer is in our glorious text. This is the most wonderful verse of Scripture. Go with me back to John 17 and listen to what our Lord is saying right here in verse 12. He said, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name." I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none is lost but the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. This is our hope right here. This is our only hope. This is all of our assurance. I don't have any assurance in what I have attained. Well, you pastor what many believe is a sovereign grace church. Well, Judas walked with God Almighty. The only assurance I have is in what my Lord said. He said, "I kept them in your name. I have kept them, and none of them is lost." He said, "Father, I kept them, and I kept them." Father, I did two things. I did two things. I kept them, and I kept them. I titled this, "Kept and Kept." That's what God's people are, kept and kept. This word is in this verse twice. Kept and kept. And I'm so glad the Lord allowed me to realize that it's not the same word. It's not the same word. We have that concordance and we look up these words, and I thought, well, it's in there twice. We better check it twice. And as it turns out, in the concordance, the first word is number 5083. That doesn't mean anything to anybody, I know. But the second word is number 5442. The only reason I tell you that is to prove it's not the same word. It's not the same word. The first one, verse 12, says, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name." That one means to guard from loss or injury by keeping the eye upon. I watched them like a hawk, every one of them. I kept my eye on them. I put my hand around them. I shielded them, guarded them, protected them, kept my eye on them. Father, I was their shield and defender. That's what I was. I was their mighty fortress. Father, I was their high tower. I kept them. The second one, he said in verse 12, "Those that thou gavest me, I have kept." That one means to prevent escaping. Oh, my heart melted when I read that. And it also means to keep from being snatched. Father, they are indeed prone to wander, but I kept them. And I kept them. I've not let them go. I will not let them go. And their flesh is not going to prevail. It is absolutely not going to prevail. He shall not fail. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Well, you're not going anywhere. I've kept them. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter 1, look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You who truly do believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's all. Not, I believe on Him and the fact that I'm a new man. Not, I believe on Him and all my good works that I did last week. You who believe on Christ alone, you who are looking to Christ and trusting to Christ, you're not doing that on your own. The reason you're doing that is because you are being kept by the power of God. That's the only reason you're doing that. You who are just hanging on Christ, you're not hanging on Him because you're hanging on Him. You're hanging on Him because you're being kept by the power of God. You don't have any strength to grip. He's sitting there holding you. You think, I'm holding on for dear life. He's got His hand under you. You're being kept by the power of God. Oh, but I'm nothing but a wretched sinner. I am no better than Judas himself. Yeah. But you were given to Christ. You know what maketh me to differ from that poor soul, Judas? I was given to Christ. Well, I wouldn't have done what Judas did. I wouldn't count on that. Every sinner who God the Father gave to Christ is being kept by the power of God. Christ said, I have kept them, and none of them is lost. I love how Psalm 121 says, He that keepeth thee will not slumber. I love the fact that he never goes to sleep. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. Father, I've kept them and I've kept them. Nothing's going to bring harm to them, not even their own flesh. Let me close with this. I've always loved the thought of this. Go to Psalm 34. Last Sunday night, we saw that we are one with Christ, didn't we? One with Christ, bone of His bone. He said, I'm the head, you're the body. We are His bones. We're His bones. When our Lord went to the cross, He illustrated for us what He was doing for us. Something was foretold from the foundation of the world, recorded in the Old Testament, right here in Psalm 34, and illustrated on the cross, so we would see exactly what He's doing for us. By our Lord telling Pilate and telling those soldiers and telling that huge crowd of people that was crying, crucify Him. And the enemy that was behind it all, the great enemy that was behind it all, this is what He said to him. He said, you can have My face. He went to the cross and he couldn't recognize Him. Marred more than any man. He said, you can have My face. You can beat my face. You can spit in my face. You can curse my face. You can rip my beard out. He told them, you can have the crown of my head. You can press thorns in my head. You can turn my head into a bloody mess. You can have my back. You can whip it. You can smite it with a rod. You can have my hands. You can have my feet. You can drive nails into them. You can nail them to a piece of wood. You can have my side. You can run a spear all the way up into my side and everything that's in me. You can spill it out. But you will not touch one of my bones. You're not touching my bones. Now look at Psalm 34, verse 20. It says, He keepeth all his bones. None of them is broken. Not a one. That's our gospel tonight. Oh, he was so broken. He was so broken. He was so mutilated. Not one of his bones. Not one. Because of Christ, we are being kept by the power of God Almighty. We are kept and we are kept. All right, let's stand together.